Hi there, Kamasi here, coach, strategist, and author of the guidebook series, plus my most recent book, The Successful Mind, and welcome to today's session of the Life Masterclass, coming to you all the way from beautiful Bali, looking a bit cloudy outside, but a beautiful day otherwise. As always, I'm very excited to share some things with you, practical tips, tools, and strategies for how you can increase your happiness, your health, your vitality, and your success in life. And if you want to go deeper, remember about each month, I have a meditation so we can go deeper, working from the inside out. So get ready for a great program this morning. Well, it's my morning. I don't know what time it is for you, but I hope you're enjoying it wherever you are in the course of the day. So today I'm trying something different, and I'm going to, over the next three episodes, talk about my book, The Guidebook to Authentic Success. So I'll break it into three parts and I'll go through the principal parts of it. Now, just a little bit of background on The Guidebook to Authentic Success. One of my favorite books I've written. It was a joy to write. And what I decide a lot of times when I'm writing is I'll choose a topic and I'll write about that topic over the course of a year as I actually apply the principles and practices that I pick up in the actual research and writing that I'm doing. So I decided I wanted to up my level of success. So I thought, okay, I'll write a book about success and obviously research as much as I can about success principles. And before I wrote the book, it was going to be the guidebook to success. I don't know what caused me to have this insight, but for some reason, I decided to put authentic out the front of success. So it became the guidebook to authentic success. And something miraculous happened then. It caused me to look at this subject in a completely different way, in what I would call a holistic way. And my definition then of authentic success is the success you feel in your bones. And it really changed my perspective on it, because a lot of times if we think about success and talk about success, we're probably driven to be looking at things like how much is someone's net worth, what's their profession, where are they on the professional ladder, and other, you know, physical trappings, what sort of house are they living in, what sort of car they're driving, those sort of trappings of success. And we can sort of be seduced into thinking that's what success is. But when we go deeper, when we look at this from the perspective of how do I feel authentically successful, like feel it in my bones so that I can look at myself in the mirror and like have this deep sense of accomplishment, regardless of whether I can see my job title, regardless of whether I can see my possessions, and regardless of whether I've got my bank statement or wads of $100 notes flying around in front of me. So it really changed the conversation. So I ended up coming up with eight key pillars when it comes to authentic success. So over the course of these three parts, I'm going to go through each of those and expand on them a little bit. Now, in the book, there's a lot more content, and I get particularly into mindset as well. So before I go into these eight pillars, and I call those eight pillars sort of strategies, and I talk about in these eight areas, what are strategies we can do to keep this practical to actually work towards this experience of authentic success. But I do go into mindset before I get into that, because I'm very particular about understanding that if our mindset's not there, it's really hard for us to actually carve the path and apply these particular strategies, because we won't have in mind something, the direction we want to go, but there might be something deeper in our subconscious that draws us in a different direction. So I talk in mindset about beliefs and stories. I talk about identity. I talk about thinking patterns. I also have a dialogue around consciousness. So that's a powerful thing. Now, I'm not sure whether you can hear that background noise. There's a cat carrying on, and I think our dog is about to attack it at any stage. You may not hear it, and if you don't hear it, good for you, because it's not a pleasant sound. I might be able to engineer the sound out. So today I'm going to talk about two particular pillars. Next podcast, I'll talk about three particular, and then the last one, the final three. I'll go through all eight now, and then I'll talk about the two we're going to talk about today. So the eight pillars are daily joy. Second one, high quality relationships. Third one, feeling connected. Fourth one, growing, evolving. Fifth one, meaningful life goals. Sixth one, financial flow. Seventh one, being aligned with authentic self. And the eighth one, optimum health and vitality. So I'm going to just focus on two of them today. I'm going to focus on daily joy and high quality relationships and talk a little bit about them. And as always, keep it as practical as I can so you've got something to take away at the end of the day. And with any of these conversations I have, if you ever want to reach out and ask a question to go more specific on this, don't hesitate. And the other thing I encourage you to do is go check out my website, carlmassey.com. Click on the books and you'll see the list of books there, and you can download a PDF that's got the first section, introduction, and the first chapter of the Guidebook to Authentic Success. So that will give you a better sense about the depth that we go into there. And then you can make a choice as to whether you want to buy a copy of that book, which I strongly encourage you because I think you'll get a lot out of it. So let's dive into this thing. So the first one is daily joy. And what I'm saying is it's really hard to feel successful in life if we don't have this flow of joy through us on a regular basis. And there may be some days where we feel more joyful than others because of circumstances in our life, but we want to have the majority of the time having this joyful experience. So I also talk about joyful as an elevated emotional state. So joy might not be just this singular emotion of joy. It might also include emotions like gratitude. It might include emotions like fulfillment. It might include emotions like meaningfulness. But all of these collectively are these elevated emotional states, as opposed to, and the opposite of those elevated emotional states, and to use terminology of Dr. Joe Dispenza, he would call the other emotions survival emotions. So survival emotions are things like fear, attachment to ego, attachment to possessions, worry, jealousy. Those things fit into living from a survival place, and we want to evolve ourselves beyond that. So I believe that we're successful and authentically successful if we have the experience of feeling more elevated emotions on a more regular basis. And what we find is the elevated emotions, these emotions of joy, for example, are more responsive. They've got a little bit more space and a little more capacity for us to move and flow through life, whereas the survival emotional states are very much linked to reactivity. You know, surviving in the moment and reacting to things. Part of our work of evolving as much as we can over the course of our life is coming to a state where we experience more of these elevated emotions. We experience more of responsiveness to situations as opposed to reactiveness to situations. And that's a completely different thing. Some of the ways we can experience more joy is one of the most simple, easiest, underrated is serving others. So helping others, like contributing beyond yourself, whether it's charity work as a specific, but it's even like serving others, like in everything you do. So I get great joy out of serving others, whether it's in a classroom, whether it's doing a presentation, whether it's working one-on-one with my coaching clients. There's a lot of joy that comes to me, like a deeper sense of meaningful, fulfilling joy as a result of serving someone beyond myself. So that's one of the ways we can experience joy. The other one is actually managing our stress. So one of my key strategies for managing our stress is actually, imagine that there's a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is where you're wigging out, you're in the red zone of stress. 1 is where you're just about to fall asleep. What we want to do is actually be aware and self-aware of where we are on that spectrum. And that might be called the stress spectrum. Get my S's and P's mixed up. So this stress spectrum, if we can pay attention to that and sort of get to the point where we notice at about a 7 or an 8, we're starting to like get this feeling of more stressed, that then triggers us to say no to a few projects, to give ourselves a little bit more space and capacity. It might be the trigger for us to choose to do something that we find joyful. So the idea of self-awareness and checking in on ourselves and asking ourselves, say in the morning, where's my stress level at? Partway through the day, where's my stress level at? And let that be a feedback loop for the choices you make about what's next. So if you're feeling like an 8 or 9, it's time to say not only no to taking on extra things, but it's a time to step back, take that walk in nature, go and play with your dog for a bit. Take that ride or drive to the beach, spend some time there, spend some time with some loved ones, speak to someone on the phone who's one of your favorite people to talk to, and you know that speaking to them makes you feel better. So making those particular choices to bring this stress level down, to manage that. It's very hard to feel joyful in this experience of joy if we have elevated stress levels. So we need to be conscious of the choices we make around that. The thing we can do is practice having and experiencing positive emotions. So I actually listened to a guided meditation of Dr. Joe Dispenza, which is about practicing these elevated emotional states, the opposite of survival emotional states. So to get better at experiencing joy, I practice feeling joy. To get better at experiencing gratitude, I practice gratitude. To get better at feeling empowered, I practice feeling empowered. So we can actually practice the emotional states we want to have. And that might be an easier activity to do when we're in, say, a meditation. It also might be an activity we do when we're noticing and witnessing something beautiful, whether it's a beautiful oak tree, whether it's a sunset, whether it's a gorgeous park, whether it's a beautiful beach, whether it's this beautiful field. Whatever it is for you, when you see those experiences, practice and connect to the experience of that elevated emotional state in that experience. So there you go, a few things to work on elevating your daily joy. And obviously, I go to more details in the book. The second one I want to talk about today is high-quality relationships. Some would say the quality of our life is strongly dependent on and correlated with the quality of the relationships in our life. I think Tony Robbins says something similar to that. So the quality of our life is directly proportionate to the quality of the relationships in our life. And I've read it recently in another book, and I can't remember the author that said something along similar lines. So here's the thing. We can have all the money in the world, but if we have poor quality relationships, if we have an estranged relationship, say, with one of our children, if we have a strange relationship with one of our siblings or our parents, we have poor relationships with our friend, or we have a relationship with 15,000 people on Facebook that are all, you know, at a micro level of depth, but no true depth in those relationships, we can actually feel lonely. So it's very important for us to get better at having and experiencing deeper relationships with the people in our life and higher quality relationships. And I talk in the book about some particular strategies that I've uncovered and I've come across in my time when it comes to working with clients with relationship issues. And it comes to improving the quality of my relationship as well. So there's some specific strategies in there. One of them is called the 5 love languages. And I encourage you to, you can jump on a search engine and search for the 5 love languages. And it will take you to their website and it will give you a deeper understanding to it. It actually might be a topic that I talk about in a podcast coming up. I'll go into a little bit more detail for it because I think it's one of the best relationship strategies I know. So in order for us to feel successful, we need to work on these relationships. One of the key teachings, my go-to when it comes down to the best relationship thing, is about not having expectations but having agreements. What that means is instead of expecting our sibling, our parents, our friends, our partners, our children to behave in a way that is what we would behave in and think in a way that we would think in and believe what we believe, instead of expecting them to be exactly the same as us in their thinking, feeling, behaving, we need to understand that everyone is different. Everyone has a completely different life experience. And even the research which talks about identical twins growing up in the same family environment, they're going to have different life experiences. They're going to interact with different people. They're going to see different things, experience different things. So knowing that everyone is different is one of the keys. So do not expect someone to do something the way you would do it, to think the way that you would think, to behave the way that you would behave. And the way to counter that, first acknowledge it, and the way to counter it then is to actually form an agreement. Have a conversation about, in this particular circumstance, what is appropriate for each of us to do in this thing? So instead of expecting someone to do something and them not doing it in the way you would like them to do it, actually have a conversation and come to an agreement as to what is appropriate for both of you. And this is can change so much in relationships, whether it's a professional relationship, whether it's a personal relationship, whether it's an intimate relationship. There's a great book called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And one of the four agreements he says is do not make assumptions. And that's the same thing we're talking about here. Expecting someone to do something in a way that you would do it is making a bold assumption. And making those bold assumptions often leads to making errors in understanding what someone's going to do and your interrelationship with them. So be very conscious of that. So to wrap it up, high quality relationships are essential for you to feel deeply happy and successful in your bones. So making sure you put the time, energy and effort into those high quality relationships. So today we've covered daily joy, we've covered high quality relationships. And in the next podcast, I'm going to talk about feeling connected. I'm going to talk about growing and evolving. And I'm going to talk about meaningful life goals. So that will be part two. So I look forward to serving you with those. As I said before, if you want to check out more about the Guidebook to Authentic Success, you can go to my website, carlmassey.com. Click on the tab called Books and you'll see the book there. Go through to the page of the book and you can download a PDF sample of the book, which will give you a sense of where I'm taking the conversation and to go into more depth there. And obviously you can order from there. The book is also on Amazon. So if you're a Kindle reader, you can grab a sample there as well. So I hope you get the opportunity to check that out. So again, thank you so much for joining me for today as we went deeper into this concept about authentic success. And as I said, if you need to reach out or would like to reach out to me to ask anything more or to work with me on increasing your level of personal success, don't hesitate to reach out. I'd love to hear from you and support you in any way possible. So that's about it from me. Sending you a big shout out to wherever you are on this amazing, gorgeous, incredible planet of ours. Have an absolutely fantastic day and take care.